For the Denver Broncos on both offense and defense, red zone has been a key area of focus for them in mandatory minicamp. Where do the Broncos have room to grow on both sides offensively, defensively? Plus, how can they become one of the top units offensively and defensively in 2022? We break that down and much more on today's brand new episode, Locked On Broncos.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up, Broncos country? Happy Thursday and welcome back into a brand new episode of Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast here on the Locked On NFL Network, your team every day from the South Stands to the end zone. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, senior Broncos analyst at Mile High Sports, joined alongside by my co-host, Sarah Benger, site expert, predominantlyorange.com. Both of us also cover the Broncos for the Locked On Network and Nine News. And Broncos country, thank you so much for making Locked On Broncos your first listen of the day every single day. Free and available everywhere you get your podcast in audio format, or if you watch us on YouTube, we appreciate you so much, whether you enjoy us with your morning cup of coffee, your morning workout, your morning drive. Thank you so much for making Locked On Broncos your first listen of the day, every single day. Sarah, my friend, red zone has been an area of emphasis for this Broncos team so far throughout mandatory minicamp. We've seen various periods with the defense dominating, the offense having some success. Granted, there's been no contact, but I think it's important as well when we look at these units respectively, we kind of compare to last year. Where are the biggest areas? Where's the most room for growth for the Broncos offense and defense in the red zone? I'm excited to break it down with you, my man.
I'm excited as well, Cody. You know, this has been one of those areas that's been just, it's kind of been tough to watch offensively. And then defensively, it's kind of been the bend, don't break mentality, you know? And I think there's room to grow for both sides of the ball. As dominant as the Broncos defense had been under the Vic Fangio era of really just, you know, crushing teams in the red zone and making it hard for them to get 6 points instead of just three or even pushing them out of field goal range, I think there's room for both of these units to grow up. Of course, the glaring one is going to be on offense, but then I think defensively as well, there's some things that we're going to point out in today's episode to show the fans and the listeners that, man, even with a great red zone defense, there's ways that that unit and that particular area could be even better in 2022.
Well, I think for the offense in general, let's start off with them, not just red zone, but I think in general, like the biggest room to grow for this Denver Broncos team in 2022, when we look at where they struggled that last season, I'm going to start off on first down, Sarah. Like, how many times do we see the Broncos just go backwards on first down, which put them in a very inopportune second and situation? You know, sometimes you'd have a third and long, third and medium, which doesn't always bode well. That's where Denver struggled. If they can have better first down production this upcoming season, I think the offense will be much more improved. But going back to the red zone, that was an area where the Broncos just simply could not punch it in. Like, they kept getting friend zoned in the red zone last season. And really, I think for the last 4 to 5 years, if we're going to be honest with you, they've really had a hard time scoring, if you know what I mean. But outside of that as well, just efficiency on third down, Sarah, is another area, in my opinion, I think has been a problem area for Denver. They've been finding themselves. And I think a lot of it goes back to first down. For example, you go backwards 3 to 4 yards on first down. Okay. Second and long coming up. Well, if your second down play did not work, now you're facing a third and long, which means that more than likely you're not going to convert, which if you're facing a third and long, what's the number one play we tend to see from the Broncos? We're going to throw it short of the sticks and hope to get there, right? That's what we saw under Pat Shurmur. In my opinion, I think these are the biggest areas. If the Broncos can attack this with Russell Wilson, with Nathaniel Hackett, I think they're going to be much better.
They are. And that just brought back to mind all those times on second down. Remember when it was just like a Twitter party? Everybody jumped on Twitter to
talk
about the run plays on second and long. I mean, that was the hallmark of the Pat Shurmur era, unfortunately. But you're right. There's different areas that can contribute to like a domino effect of success offensively. And I took down some notes on some statistics last year because really it felt like the Broncos were way worse on offense than in reality. They actually were. I mean, they were third in the NFL in time of possession per drive. So they had the ball quite a bit. They were sixth in the league in plays per drive. They were 12th in the league in yards per drive. So they're finding ways to move the ball between the 20s. But then it's like you said, getting friend zoned in the red zone. That's where they really struggled. And they were 22nd last year in red zone efficiency. And we know this more than anything. It doesn't really matter how great your defense is. Even if you have ball control, we've seen that last year, the Broncos had a top 10 10 defense, arguably top five defense for most of the season. And they had some of the best ball control in the league. There were some turnover struggles here and there, but for the most part, they were really good at ball control. Those statistics that I just brought up are evidence of that. So what's the major reason why you're winning seven games instead of 10 games? The major reason is you're not scoring in the red zone other than field goals. Really, that was the frustrating part. You would see so many great offensive drives on tape and all these different things that led you to believe. And we talked to Tim Jenkins about this a number of times. Like, Pat Shermer designed some good drives for the Denver Broncos and they had some good things going, but then they would get in the red zone and all of a sudden you would start utilizing the wrong personnel, or you would have Cortland Sutton playing tight end, or you would have all these different things happening. That's like, it's got both hands over the face. That's exactly right. You're not even watching the game at that point. You're trying to think about, do I need to actually tweet something, or should I just keep it to myself and wait till the game is over? But that's exactly what it is. 22nd in red zone efficiency. I'm definitely happy they're working on that early in OTAs in this offseason program.
Well, now getting to the Broncos defensive side of the ball, I think a lot of their issues that they had last year, they're really good. Like, the defense was pretty damn good last season, all things considered here, but they struggle with getting a large amount of takeaways. Like, in order to be one of the best defenses, look, Denver was the best scoring defense in the NFL, which was very surprising. They would limit teams' production offensively in terms of total points scored, but they couldn't get as many takeaways. Like, you have Justin Simmons with 5 interceptions. You have Patrick Surtain with 4. Those guys had the majority of the Broncos' overall takeaways last season. There was 19 total. That's not going to cut it here in the NFL. So they have to get better at that. Interior pressure, I think they have to get better at, which I think that I'm excited about with the defensive line. If the guys that we've talked about, Draymond Jones, Mike Purcell, DJ Jones, and even if Iomu Wazirike can stay healthy and maybe find his way into the rotation there, can the Broncos get more defensive interior pressure this season? That's there. And then third down efficiency. There were so many times last year where the Broncos defense was stifling for first down, second down, and then later on in the season, they kind of fell back a little bit on third down. They gave up too many third down conversions, kept drives going, but that leads to a next point here. What was an issue the Broncos dealt with last season with them being on the football field?
You know, being on third down, Cody, like you just mentioned, the third down defense ranked 28th in the NFL last season for the Denver Broncos, and that's absolutely horrible. That contributed to the red zone defense being as good as it was, because the Broncos let teams down the field all the time, and that's the unfortunate reality of it. I mean, they definitely had a tight defense in the red zone. They definitely had some opportunistic games where they created a number of turnovers, but at the same time, you're letting the other team down the field too often and negating your ball control type of offense. That was the Broncos game plan last year. Ball control, play good defense, try to win games like 24-20 or you know, 21-17. And ultimately in today's NFL, that just doesn't work. If you're allowing the fourth most or fifth most third downs to get past you on the other side, you can't win games like that. You just can't sustain any level of great defense. And we saw a number of times throughout the season, a bend don't break type of defense, right? That was what the Broncos kind of were called quite a bit under Vic Fangio, bend but not break. We saw them break a few times. That Cleveland game comes to mind. The game against the Raiders late in the season comes to mind, where you just couldn't hold enough on those third down plays late in games. And that's where ultimately I think the Broncos red zone defense needs to get better, is not giving the opposing team as many opportunities in the red zone, tightening up on third down.
That will go a long ways. But now that we know where the Broncos have room to grow both offensively and defensively in the red zone, we talk about how the Broncos offense can attack the red zone here in 2022. But before we get into that, let me tell you about Blue Nile, the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. And whether you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. And Blue Nile has simple online tools that let you choose the diamond shape, the size, the clarity, as well as the setting styles. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft her the perfect engagement ring, and each ring is one of a kind. So make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and Locked On Sports listeners get $50 off of purchases of $500 or more. And this podcast exclusive includes engagement. Use code Locked On. Once again, that's code Locked On. Plus, every single order is insured, it ships free, and it arrives in discreet packaging so that it won't give away what's inside. And you can shop stress-free, and you can find your forever piece. Go to BlueNile.com today. Broncos country as we dive deeper in today's episode of the show here, looking at the Broncos red zone offense. Real quick, I want to give a massive shout out to all of you in Broncos country for making Lockdown Broncos your first listen of the day every single day, because for the true fan, there is never an off season. And the next 5 weeks when nothing is happening, we have everything going on here with the Lockdown Broncos podcast. Also, major shout out to our guys over there, Lockdown Avalanche podcast. Did the Avs go up 1-0 against the Tampa Bay Lightning, or did they drop one of the first games at Ball Arena? Make sure you check out the Locked On Avalanche podcast for all the latest on the Stanley Cup Finals here with your Colorado Avalanche. Sarah, my friend, how can the Broncos offense attack the red zone here in 2022? A brand new offensive philosophy, a brand new head coach, a brand new quarterback under center that is a game changer when we talk about impact. We talk about where the Broncos have really been lacking, and you return a wide variety of amazing skill players who can benefit here in the red zone this upcoming season. Let's talk about how the Broncos can attack the red zone here in 2022.
Well, I'm excited, Cody. I'm excited about this because we know from when Nathaniel Hackett was hired, one of the things that we read about him from his time in Green Bay was what? The gold zone that they had there in Green Bay. And we know that this matters a lot to Nathaniel Hackett because we saw the Green Bay Packers have a ton of success in the red zone, but in a variety of different ways, right? It wasn't just, well, Aaron Rodgers just take over in the red zone, which he has frankly done throughout pretty much his entire career. He's done a great job at being efficient in the red zone. And you need a quarterback that can do that, which I believe Russell Wilson is. So now the question becomes, how do you utilize properly your personnel? Like what type of defense are you going to be facing? And what kind of skill players can you put on the field in combination together that give you the best chance at red zone success? I think that's going to be one of the most fascinating things to watch this season.
Well, and I think that when you look at personnel, I believe, Sarah, that the Broncos have all the skill players that have mismatch advantages against defenses. I think that the Broncos have so much flexibility depending on how they utilize guys. Like, I look at Tim Patrick, I look at Cortland Sutton. A lot of people just assume those guys are going to be on the outside in the red zone. Sarah, the Broncos have the flexibility, and especially with Nathaniel Hackett, he wants those guys to be able to be interchangeable, not just be outside wide receivers, the tall guys. But can you imagine Tim Patrick or Cortland Sutton in a bunch formation in the red zone where all of a sudden you have a size matchup advantage against a smaller nickel guy and you're going across the field or you're running a corner route, you're running an out route against a smaller guy? These guys can use their body to box out those smaller defenders. You can run those pick patterns there with guys like Jerry Jeudy. Like, could you imagine Jerry Jeudy on the outside there being a pick route from the number two or number three guy, Jerry Jeudy clearing underneath? We saw that against the Cowboys this season. Pat Shurmur, unfortunately, never went back to it. I don't know why, but you know what? It is what it is. But I think that they have so many different mismatch advantages with their personnel. And we're just talking about receivers there. What about KJ Hamler with his speed? Now, Sarah, I don't think many Broncos fans remember, like, we saw the 80-yard touchdown he had against the Vikings, but against the Seahawks in the preseason, we saw KJ Hamler eating inside the red zone. We saw him running those speed outs, those sits against some of those slower defenders than him inside that slot in that nickel position. And I tell you what, he's a guy that can eat in the red zone. But then you introduce guys like Alberto, who we know can be a legitimate red zone threat. Oh, let's add in Greg Dulcich, who can also be a legitimate red zone threat. Oh, what about your running backs as potential receivers? We know that, especially with Russ's mobility. Sarah, the Broncos, in my opinion, on paper, and this is what I'm always going to say, on paper, it's beautiful on paper. They have, I think, ideally the best setup to have one of the top red zone offenses in the NFL if their personnel can stay healthy and they can execute.
They definitely do. And that's the most exciting thing, I think, right? That we've all been looking forward to over the last couple of years is just really being able to see all of these different players and personnel be utilized in a proper way. And now you finally have the pieces in place, in my opinion, and I think yours as well, really at the head coach and offensive coordinator and just the entire offensive game planning brain trust that they have there with Nathaniel Hackett and Justin Outen and Clint Kubiak and all these different guys that are there collaborating, not to mention obviously Russell Wilson, who's going to be coming up with a lot of these different plays as well. I just think you have such an advantage over other teams and being able to kind of manipulate whatever you want to do out there. If you're facing a stacked box, like you mentioned, you could hit that quick out to KJ Hamler, which we saw him win a game against the Los Angeles Chargers on a similar play like that. And then obviously in the preseason, seeing his dynamic skill set carried over, and you could really go through every single player on this offensive roster. But I think if what you're talking about with these outside receivers and the different threats that you have in the passing game, that also opens up the running game in the red zone to really be able to see Javonte Williams against boxes that can't be stacked because you have so many talented receivers and tight ends to have to worry about. Now, all of a sudden, Javonte Williams' ability to break tackles, that comes into play in the red zone. Melvin Gordon obviously has been one of the best in the NFL at creating touchdowns throughout his career, which is crazy because his rookie season, he had zero touchdowns, and now he's become one of the best in the league at it. So I think it's fascinating to think about, to talk about, but to actually see some of the stuff. I think in the preseason and training camp, probably going to get a lot of the vanilla, quote unquote, red zone packages and the different things that they're going to do. But even that, I think just the most basic kind of stuff that we're going to see from the Broncos, I'm excited to see how they execute with so many talented players and a quarterback and field general like Wilson calling the shots.
A lot of what the Broncos are doing, when we talk about route concepts, Sarah, in the red zone, what we're seeing, what we're hearing is that they're really attacking almost every level of the field. They're tackling the flat. They're tackling the short to intermediate. They're attacking deep, not necessarily deep in the red zone because it's 20 yards there, but they're attacking the portion where it's the long side. They're attacking outside. Almost every blade of grass in the red zone is open, and that's something that Mike Leach used to do with his offenses, the high-octane shoot-em-up style offenses that he had there. That's what the Broncos are trying to get inside the red zone here with Russell Wilson. And like I said, I think they're trying to predicate a lot of it, maybe a little bit off that 2013 offense that we saw in Denver. Not saying that the production is going to be there for Denver. Who knows, though? But with every player possible, the Denver Broncos have a really good opportunity to improve their red zone offense, which means more points will be scored in Denver here in 2022. But when the Broncos get back to the defensive part of the red zone, how can they get back to being a number one unit in the NFL? We talk about how the Broncos are utilizing what they're going through in mandatory minicamp to build up to becoming one of the top red zone defenses. What are some of the philosophies and how can they get back there? We get to that coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, let me tell you about Built Bar, the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. And Built Bar has released a brand new flavor. Yes, once again, a brand new flavor at Built.com. And the new Mud Pie Bar is topped with rich whipped cream and chocolate mousse smothered in 100% milk chocolate. And guess what? It is a healthy protein bar. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, and only 4 grams of sugar. You can try the brand new Mud Pie flavor today at Built.com, or the amazing 9 original flavors, or the Churro Puffs, or the Brownie Batter Puffs that are ongoing now. Check out all the new flavors at Built.com here today. And once you go to checkout, after you select a flavor or a box for you and your family, make sure you enter promo code LOCK15, and that's going to get you 15% off your next order at Built.com. All right, Broncos country, as we jump into the fourth quarter action on today's episode, Locked On Broncos. Broncos mandatory minicamp is officially over, and now the offseason really, truly begins. Over the course of the next 5 weeks, Sarah Benninger, myself, we have you covered with an episode every single day, because for the true fan, there is never an offseason here on the Locked On Broncos podcast. We appreciate you so much, everybody in Broncos country. But now, getting to our point here, how can the Broncos defense really attack becoming a top unit in the red zone here once again? As we've talked about here on the show, they were simply on the field too much last season, too long for a majority of games in the last couple of years collectively, but they were still able to find a way to squeeze the life, like the BOA challenge that we saw with the good friend Juancho Hernan Gomez in Adam Sandler's latest movie, Hustle. The BOA challenge the Broncos were really good at when it came to the red zone, really restricting what offenses were able to do, tightening up. And I think with all the personnel they have the ability to do that here once again. But in my opinion, a lot of the players on this defense, Sarah, they've been part of this number one ranked red zone defense before. Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson, these guys have all been a major, major part of that. What can Denver emulate that they did really well in those years? Well, I think when you look at the personnel, physical to line of scrimmage with corners, I mean, especially when you're on the 5-yard line, you cannot allow any wide receivers to have a free release inside or outside. I think you have to have really good edge containment. That is an area where the Broncos really have to have that. You have to have a solidified presence on the defensive interior, which is where I think that guys like DJ Jones, Mike Purcell, when the Broncos get in the red zone, I think those guys are going to be huge for Denver here. I think you got to run a lot of cover one, have one of those safety. He's kind of playing that man free. Everybody else is manned up, and anything coming across that deep middle, you're going to have extra help there with that safety. I think that's something that's important. But one thing that Broncos defensive back coach Christian Parker has been communicating to these DBs, specifically in the red zone, he says, when we get in the red zone, we have three keys: eyes, communication, and alignment. Where are my eyes at? Making sure that, hey, more than likely we're in man coverage. My eyes are on the hip of the wide receiver. Okay, communication. Hey, I've got him. Hey, they got bunched. Their splits are within 5 yards. Like, and one thing that you see often at times, Sarah, if there's two receivers that are within 5 yards apart, Often at times you're going to see corners communicate. And they're going to go like this, combo, 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 meaning that whatever comes inside, the slot guy is going to take. Whatever comes outside, the outside cornerback is going to take there. And then obviously just alignment, making sure that you're not giving up the inside, especially for slants when we talk about the red zone. That's one area I'm excited. But what are some other ways that the Broncos defense can return back to form to becoming the number one red zone defense in the NFL in 2022?
Well, I think all those things that you just mentioned really factor into something that just from the naked eye, I think this is what's important to me. It's really forcing the quarterback to have to pull a rabbit out of his hat on in those red zone situations, especially when you get to third down in the red zone, forcing a quarterback to have to just completely throw away the original plan, right? And that's a sign of great communication, great initial defense from the defensive backfield specifically, because if you're trying to throw the ball on third down in the red zone, I think that what you want to have to do, and I think we saw the Broncos do this more often, I don't know if there's a specific statistic about this in regards to the Vic Fangio era, but it felt like there was more aggressiveness in terms of rushing the quarterback in the red zone. When you get to the red zone, he wanted the quarterbacks to have to make as quick of a decision as possible, whether that was abandoning the original plan or whether that was, hey, throw the ball to your first read as quick as possible and we've already got it covered, so it's no big deal. I think that's exactly what you want to see more of this season, is really forcing a quarterback into a quick decision. Again, whether that's abandoning his original plan or throwing it to his first read, which is going to be covered because the communication is so good, the coverage is so tight. You want them to have to make those quick decisions, because oftentimes, you know, you get guys like Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr, even sometimes you let them play backyard football, they're going to absolutely whoop your butt out there. So you want to have to make them make quick decisions one way or the other, abandoning their plan. And we know that Patrick Mahomes in backyard football situation, he'll throw the ball left-handed and complete a pass. We've seen it firsthand, which sucks. But at the same time, you know, I think that's your best opportunity for success, really, to have that great initial coverage and make the quarterbacks play some backyard football and get those relentless pass rushers out there to be effective in those situations, because that's one area we know we've talked about. The Broncos struggled, and we've seen George Payton, the general manager, prioritize it this offseason. Getting pressure off the edge is going to be crucial, in addition to that interior pressure and sending those linebackers on blitzes. I think the edge guys getting home is going to be key to continuing red zone success this season, because the Denver Broncos simply haven't had that kind of productivity off the edge since you had healthy versions of Von Miller and Bradley Chubb.
Well, and I think another element to that too is for the edge rushers, if you get upfield, those guys that are the defensive ends, they have to make sure they hedge a little bit there, kind of step to the outside, because what we've seen, especially in the AFC West, quarterbacks just dipping up under where the pass rusher's coming, going inside the offensive tackle in between the offensive guard, and they're just running the football there. Have to protect that. But I think if the Broncos run defense, Sarah, especially in the red zone, if the Broncos run defense becomes very, very strong, it will force teams to pass the football, right? If you can't run against the Broncos, as we've seen, like teams, like I think a great example would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You can't run against them. Nobody has been able to run against them except Michael Carter on one play, and then he got hurt last season. Outside of that, good luck trying to run the football against that Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. If the Broncos can get to that stature, they're going to force teams to throw the ball more, which I think it plays into the strength of the Broncos. You want teams to throw the ball, because guess what? You have a secondary that has elite talent at almost every level. We talk about the back end. We're talking about the secondary. We're talking about even inside the nickel. There's been a lot of raving reviews so far about Kaywan Williams, how he's looked in mandatory minicamp inside the slot. Like I said, the Broncos defense could be back, Sarah. Like I said, it's all on paper. Projections are great. We have to wait for the results on the field, but I think the hype is there. Broncos country has every right to be excited, and you should be if you are a Broncos fan. But Broncos country, let us know if there's anything you believe the Broncos can do both on offense or defense that we didn't touch on that you believe can make them a top unit in the red zone this upcoming season. Let us know in the YouTube comment section or on Twitter at @CodyRourkeNFL, at Sarah Bettinger, at Lockdown Broncos. Once again, Broncos country, thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Lockdown Broncos, making us your first listen of the day every single day. Tomorrow's episode of the show, it's a little bit of a fun one, so prepare yourselves and comment down below in the YouTube comment section. If the NFL were to reset rosters and you had to protect three players on this Denver Broncos team, who would you protect and build around, and why? As we talk about cornerstone players on tomorrow's episode of the show, Sarah Bettinger and myself will be back tomorrow for a brand new episode, Locked on Broncos.